Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pokharna Limited's Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to Pokharna Limited's Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. On the call today, we have Mr. Paras Jain, the Chief Executive Officer at Pokharna Engineered Stone, and Mr. Viswanatha Reddy, the CFO. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I'd also like to say that this is a 45. The duration of this call will be 45 minutes, and we will conclude at 10:45 A.M. I now invite Mr. Paras Jain to open proceedings of this call and share perspectives of business and outlook. Over to you, Paras.
Thank you, Gavin. Greetings, and thank you all for joining us today. While you have the financial numbers for the quarter and year at your disposal, I'd like to share some insights into the quarter for this industry to provide context for our financial and operational achievements. Despite ongoing economic headwinds in the U.S. impacting the stone industry and quartz industry, our results for the quarter and full year reflect the relatively positive effects of the action we are taking to enhance our performance. This quarter, we have seen stable margin in our quartz business, largely in line with Q3. However, these were somewhat offset by a marketing expense of around 7 crore and a markdown of certain finished goods inventory by 7 crore in Q4. Let me provide an update on the ongoing capital expenditure in our quartz business. We are investing in two technologies, Krios and Chromia, both from Bretton & Co. We foresee to commercialize the Krios line in Q2 of FY25. Krios is a new generation mixture extrusion and distribution system designed to produce full-body, ultra-thin, and uniquely innovative aesthetic slabs. Following this, in Q4 of FY25, we foresee to commercialize Chromia line, which is designed to decorate slabs with high-definition digital printing. This technology allows for printing precise, intricate patterns and vibrant colors, enhancing the aesthetic appeal and customizability of slabs. Turning to our granite business, while the environment remains challenging, we are moving forward with a renewed focus on our quarrying business to navigate this condition. Our efforts are directed towards getting this division back on profitability track in FY25. Additionally, the board has approved the transfer, sell, lease, exchange, hive off, or otherwise dispose of the apparel business on a going concern basis. This practically marks our exit from the apparel business, allowing us to focus entirely on our stone businesses. We are hearing from our U.S. quartz sales channel about a pickup in consumer optimism and a rebound in the housing market in certain areas. The forecast for U.S. new home starts and existing new home sales predicts a slight increase in 2024, with a greater improvement in the second half of the year. We are receiving enthusiastic response for our quartz from customers in Canada, France, Mexico, and Russia. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about FY25. Our strategic initiatives and investments are positioning us for a better year, with improvements already being seen on the demand front. Our broad and innovative quartz offering, combined with our commitment to quality and service, will continue to drive our business with both new and existing customers. As we navigate current market dynamics, our strategy remains firmly focused on enhancing innovation, developing our brand, and expanding our geographical reach. Thank you once again for joining the call. I am now open to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Karthik from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Paris. I hope I am audible.
Yeah, okay.
So one question on the two technologies that you are launching. What is the current market demand for these products? As in, are these existing product categories or completely new product categories? How would business development happen? Some color on that would be interesting.
That's the only question you have, Karthik?
And what's the CapEx on these two machines? Yeah.
Thank you. So now coming to this Creos and Chromia technology, these two technologies we are bringing from Breton of Italy. So Creos is a new generation mixture extrusion and distribution system where the products are actually made. Today, currently we make a 12 millimeter product, 20 and a 30 millimeter product. Creos would allow us to make a 7 millimeter product also, which has certain different application in certain markets. Apart from that, it would also allow us to make products with a unique aesthetic. So currently, this technology from Breton is available with 2 to 3 players across different parts of the world. And Chinese have been trying to copy this technology, but we have not seen a good copy as of now in the market from the Chinese side of it. But from Breton, we have two manufacturing companies, one in Korea, another in Italy, who already have introduced this product last year. So that in that way, this technology is relatively new compared to the other quartz technology which have been in vogue. Secondly, coming to the printed Chromia is basically, if you have seen the ceramic slabs or the porcelain slabs are actually printed. There is a printing technology. So hitherto in quartz, there was no printing technology. So now Breton has introduced a technology called Chromia, which will allow us to decorate the slab with certain printing apart from bringing whatever aesthetic we bring from our existing production line. So this technology typically has been growing in last 2 to 3 years. There are some Chinese players in it, there are some Italian players in it, but we have decided to go with Chromia because we believe that this represents the best technology currently available in the market. Coming to CapEx, so if you recall, a call before that, we've announced that we are doing about 10 million euro CapEx, which is across these two two equipments.
And if I may add one quick question, would these help you to improve realization at least by a dollar on average or more?
See, the current focus is on improving the product aesthetic, and we believe that as we improve the product aesthetic, the realization should also get better. So I don't have the number, but definitely the focus for investing in this technology is to be able to offer innovative product which would help us to increase our net realization.
Thank you and very best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Manav Singh from Auralis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, the exclusive contract that we had with Breton is not there.
Can you be a little more closer because your voice is not so loud?
Sir, may I request you to kindly use your handset, please?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah. The exclusive contract that we had with Breton is not there anymore. Now many other companies make the quartz slabs. What is the competitive advantage that we would be having over others? Can you please explain a little bit on that?
See, the exclusivity with Breton is, I think, was finished, I think, about 5-7 years back. So I don't think that has hindered our progress or our positioning in the market. Rather, if you see our performance has improved over a last 5 years period of time, because this this industry no longer is dependent on what the technology supplier provides. It is your R&D which actually positions you differently from the other in the market. It is your innovation which keeps you ahead of the competition. So our strength is our research and development, where we are able to bring in aesthetic and innovatively driven products ahead of the market, and also our understanding of the fashion, because this industry, unlike a stone industry, natural stone industry, which is predominantly driven by what the nature has provided you, is largely driven by the fashion coming. So I think our taste for fashion and our innovation and the R&D is keeping us ahead of the market, and we believe that we'll continue to be differentiated on those two fronts as we move forward.
Okay, thank you so much. That's it. That's it.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. Firstly, on the margins, so obviously we had some one-off this quarter, and also quarterly comparison is slightly not proper. So on a yearly basis, we have done 32% EBITDA margin. So do you feel more or less going forward will be in this line only? And my second question is regarding these two new technologies. So one, we were also trying or doing some R&D for alternative raw materials. So will these two technology is related to that also, or that will be a completely different product? And in one of the earlier call, you have mentioned that these two new technologies will give us altogether a new segment. Right now, it is mainly a kitchen countertop. So if you can elaborate on that also. Thank you.
Thank you, Dixit. Coming to your first question on EBITDA margin, so we believe that 30 to 35% guidance, what we have traditionally provided, is a good number to look at for FY25 as well. And coming to your second question on the alternative raw materials, the alternative raw materials typically are to substitute certain raw materials in the formulation so that we have lower crystalline silica products. So if we were to produce a lower crystalline silica slabs, we could still use the Cryos technology, we could still use the Chromia technology. So formulation is relatively different, and technology, Cryos and Chromia, works with both with our existing formulation and also will work with our with the new formulation as and when that gets ready. Now coming to your third question on the niche segment, so what I meant there was, like you recall a little while ago, I said there is a possibility of Cryos helping us make a 7mm product. So a 7mm product typically is used for as a furniture top in Europe and certain other areas, and also in applications where they want lighter materials or thinner materials. So currently, because the density is quite high in 12 or 20 or 30 millimeter product, the application is limited. So we are trying to explore the possibility of pushing this product in a segment where we can open up the market for shower wall surrounds, the furniture tops and all, using a 7 millimeter or a thinner slabs in that segment. That was my context when I said new segment.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two questions. With respect to these two new technologies, do we have any geographic restrictions, or given what you said that there are two other players, everyone can sell in any of the markets across the world? So if you can just give some color on that side.
Yeah, so basically there is no restriction from Breton to any of the existing users of this technology or on us as to where this product has to be sold. Wherever the market is there, wherever we have customers, all of us are allowed to sell wherever there is a demand and a supply.
Okay. And are these two players equally strong in the U.S. market, which is very core to us?
Sorry, you I'm not able to follow your voice. It's not clear
to me. Yes, sir. Your audio is not
clear. Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, sir.
Paras, I was asking that whether these two companies, which have the same technology, are they also very strong in the U.S. market, which is our core market?
They have been in the marketplace much before we came into this marketplace from with our old technologies as well. So they have a position in all these markets. But I think our strengths are relatively different is what is our assessment. And we should be able to position our product well in this market space in spite of the couple others having the position or the presence there in those markets.
Got it. And then if you can just talk a little bit about the international forays that we started last year. We were expanding in Russia, then I Canada and some other countries. So what's the update on that in terms of the business traction you're seeing there?
So we started in Russia, and the market there is doing good in terms of the product acceptance and the repeat orders. Currently, the challenge what we are facing is the lead times, because not every shipping line goes to Russia. So there are very relatively smaller services which are available to get the product delivered there. In spite of that challenge, I think the product presentation, the reach, and the client or the distributor who we have currently is doing a good job. And the response what we have received from him and his client is exceedingly well. And we believe that as we ease out the situation on the shipping and as we move forward, I think the business is definitely poised to grow. And coming to Canada, Canada market is doing good. Our distributor is able to expand his reach beyond the geography what he was currently working. So he's looking to expand his geographical reach with Quantra as well. The product is well marketed, displayed, and is getting a good traction out there as well. Mexico, our distributor is doing good, in spite of Mexico being a very challenging market because of the presence of low-cost imports. But since we are positioned on a different side of the market, we are looking at positioning at a niche and a luxury brand than at the bottom of the pyramid out there. So there also the traction is good. France, we are working with a client who's one of the largest in his segment there, and they're also doing a good traction out there in terms of repeat orders and the product acceptance, expansion of range and everything. So I think we are pretty much happy with the geographies which we entered last year with the progress what we have made so far, because it usually takes a longer time for the product to get accepted and the repeat orders to start flowing. But with whatever constraints we were operating in certain markets, I think the response which we got at the rate at which it came is really encouraging. And again, we are looking at exploring further more opportunities in the different geographies. Let's see how it pans out. But the focus on expanding beyond U.S. continues, and also the expansion within U.S. is also happening. Like, we are looking at adding some more distributors of our brand in certain geographies, apart from adding some private label clients.
Got it. Thank you. And just one last thing. What was the percentage of revenue last year from these new markets?
So right now the percentage from the new market is in a single digit, but I think that is very promising compared to what we were today, what we were before we got into those markets. And as the market our penetration in those markets increases, I think it has a potential to consolidate it via double digit number there.
Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Bowhead India Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Sir, in the opening remarks, you mentioned there is an incremental marketing spend of 7 crores in Q4. So is it linked to the new product launches we did at KBIS?
Yeah, so basically KBIS is a very large show where we participate, and all these shows in America are relatively very expensive to participate. considering the booth size what we have and the relative handling expenditure and all the other marketing expenditure what we do. So all this were related to the KBS which happened in February 24.
So sir, can we assume whenever we do a product launch, which generally happens around January, February in KBS, the marketing expense or other expenses would go up slightly?
So usually on a yearly basis, currently we have about a couple million dollars which we spend across 3 to 4 exhibitions. So KBS has got the largest chunk actually of all these things.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Tulshyan from Newmark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. My first question was on the tax rate. Our tax rate currently seems to be at about 35%. So do you think this will continue at this rate or we will move to the 25% rate in the coming 1 or 2 years? The next question is on capacity utilization. What is the current capacity utilization? And this 10 million euro capex that we are doing, what will be the asset term for this once both the plants are ready?
So I think currently we are at 35% tax rate, and then 24-25 we think we'll move to 25% tax regime there. On current capacity utilization in the quarter in progress, we are very close to the our optimal capacity utilization. I didn't get your last question because I think there was some disturbance. Can you just repeat on the capex, something you asked?
Yeah, I was asking what will be the asset turn for the 10 million euro capex that we are doing on the two new products?
See, historically, if you look at our asset turn has been always around 1 to 1.25. So I don't think it's going to be more than that. And that's going to start once we have a complete stabilization of the product, of the technology, and then R&D is to be completed where the products are to be established. But it could be relatively lower also because, or could be higher also. It depends upon how finally we bring out the products from this. So I think we'll have more clarity in after 2 quarters once the R&D is completed and the product comes out. Because when you buy these technologies, typically you have a very limited visibility from the OEM or from the supplier as to what designs can be made. It is your own R&D where you go beyond and try to achieve something more than that. So I think 2 quarters will have more clarity and then I can give you a right number which is more precise.
Understood. So just a follow-up on the capacity utilization. You said we are now operating at optimal capacity utilization on our quad facilities. So is there a plan to set up a new line in the coming year, or you think that when is that decision going to be taken?
I think that decision the board will take at a right time, so I don't have an answer for that at this time. But I think definitely board will consider whatever is right depending upon what they see about this business in the near future.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Shreyans Jain from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on the set of numbers, sir. So my first question is, could you give us some sense on our product mix currently in FY24? How was it between your general and high margin products?
Yeah, so Shreyans, if you compare with our last year number, which is 23 versus 24, the product mix was relatively better than 23. But it can further improve because we still have the scope to add a high-value product. That is the reason if you look at our investment coming in Crayos and Chromia, when they get properly matured, we'll have better realization. So I think we have a scope to improve our product mix depending upon how we handle these technologies and how the market reacts.
Okay. So my second question is on the India business. So how was India for us in 2024? If you can just give us some sense on how much did India do, and what is our ad spend budgets for India, you know, going forward for the next 2 to 3 years, and when do you think India can be 10% for you in terms of overall top line?
The India business, we have been working with IKEA as a partner for quartz surfaces business. Apart from that, I think they have about over 100 touch points where the product can be seen and felt, either way of displays or in terms of samples and all. So India business, typically India is a larger geography and the dynamics of business are relatively different compared to the US, because India's stone market is largely unorganized, fragmented. So positioning a branded niche product typically takes time. But you may be saying that we've started already advertising in certain magazines, like you can find us on Vistara, you can find us on Air India, and then some advertisements in Times of India. So we have our teams are working on the strategy for India, so we'll have more clarity on the India strategy in a quarter or so once we have, because we just appointed a large team to take care of India markets. So I think we'll be able to give you more color and flavor on India in a quarter or two, Shreyansh.
Okay. I said my last question would be, so we did about 9% growth in our surfaces business. So just wanted to understand what would have been the volume growth for us, because now high margin products have also started contributing. So just wanted to understand the volume growth that we would have done this quarter.
More than, I think, volume growth, we were focused on the value growth. Actually, if you see on year basis also, we are predominantly focusing ourselves to be able to deliver more value. Once we start delivering the more value, I think we can easily catch up on the volume side of it, because we were focusing more on delivering the products, innovating with the new products. So our focus in last couple of quarters, or in general for the last year, has been on the value realization than incrementally increasing the volume.
Okay. And I said, last question from my side is, so we'll be generating good cash, and then we have some capex also lined up. So how are you looking at debt for FY25 and 26? Are you comfortable at these levels?
We have a repayment of only 40 crores for the next year, so it won't be any problem.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand what was the demand scenario in the US market and how it will be going to improve in the future. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so demand in the US market is improving in certain pockets, if you had followed my opening comments. While certain pockets are still relatively flat, but some of our customers are reporting increased consumer optimism and confidence, and also certain pockets of hospitality are improving. Commercial projects are also seeing a little improvement. So overall, the demand scenario in FY25 seems to be positive than FY24.
Okay. And can you please help me to know how much percentage was the new product has contributed in the quarter and the full year?
This is something which we actually do not disclose for a proprietary reason, because we have this call is open to a lot, including our competition. So what I can tell you is that, which I answered in the previous question of Shreyansh, you see an improvement over last year in FY24 without the volumes increasing. Is because of higher value realization products coming larger in the portfolio.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Naman.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amay Cheda from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I think you had guided for a 15 to 25% revenue growth in your recent interview in 25, right? So, if we are running at optimum utilization, where will this growth come from, since the technologies will be commercialized in Q4 and Q2 only?
Yeah. So we have a revenue guidance, assuming that the markets continue to as what we are forecasting in next 3 to 4 quarters of 15%-25% increment. So if you recall what I said to someone before was that we are focusing more on the value of the product than on the volume. So we believe that we have still a certain scope to improve our value realization. And through that value realization, we believe that our top line and the bottom line can expand.
Okay. And sir, excluding these two technologies, just by, you know, selling more value-added products with exotic designs, do we foresee that our optimum revenue can be around 1,000 crores, I think, which you guided last year?
It all depends upon how the entire product mix pans out, how much we are getting from the product mix, from the fitness mix, from hospitality and all that segments. So all those alignment of stars across the different constants have to happen for that number to achieve. But I think currently our focus is not on growing exponentially on the top line. The focus currently is growing on the bottom line aggressively, so that we have cash to then deploy as we want in the near future.
Okay. And last question is, so any guidance on the Granite's margins for FY25?
As I said in the opening, that currently our focus is on the quarrying, because in Granite we have two divisions, the processing division and the quarrying division. The focus this year is with a renewed focus on quarrying business to make the division back on profitability. So I think that's the priority.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aman.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Bowhead India Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So did I hear you correctly? This is Sonal Kohli. Did I hear you correctly that your write-down on inventory was 7 crores and 7 crores was the expenses on the conferences and marketing this quarter?
Your voice is very feeble, Sonal. Can you be a little more louder?
Did I hear you correctly that your inventory write-down was 7 crores and advertising was also spending was 7 crores? I joined late. So just wanted to confirm.
Yeah. So what I said was that our margins were offset to a little extent for Q4 by a marketing expense of 7 crores and a markdown of certain finished goods by 7 crores additional.
So just to get the context right, you know, because you will do some marketing throughout the year, this 7 crores was, so let me ask you in a different way. Like on an annualized basis for FY24, what would have been your, you know, advertising cost?
So that's what I told also. I think someone from your team asked me. We said you have to look at $2 million approximately as our annual budget on business promotions, which is spread across three to four exhibitions.
This is for entire 2024 is what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
So basically 7 crore this quarter and 9 crore in the remaining three quarters. So 4 crore extra this quarter compared
yeah.
to normal. And 7 crores of inventory write-offs, so 11 crores of one-offs in this quarter, right? I got the math right?
7 plus 7, 14, right?
Yeah, but you know, you analyze, you spend 16 crores.
Okay.
So
if you analyze it, that's fine. If you go with the annualization, you're right.
And so, sir, do you see a scope for a gross margin expansion from here on further, or we have reached optimum levels?
Again, it's a question of how we get the value realizations fixed up, but say keeping that in constant, there is a scope to improve.
And sir, I was speaking to some of the other players in the industry. Is the demand situation really just improved, or it's very good as of now? Like, you know,
it depends upon what you are currently catering to. So if you are catering to a bottom of the pyramid, which some of them are claiming to be very good because they produce the basic products which are being sold at like sub $4, sub $5. So for them, the market is really very, very good. But those who are focused on higher value realization for them, the medium to higher, I think for them the market is good.
And so this, was there any impact of one-off on freight also because of the recent issues?
See, for us, the freight is typically a pass-through item, largely on the export side of it. Import side of it, yes, to some extent we had, because the prices still have not come to a level on the import side of it as those were in the certain previous period. But I think largely the export ones are coming to a pretty normal condition.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonal.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask questions.
So if we have no more questions, I think...
Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question, I would now hand over the conference to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and it was a pleasure chatting with all of you, and I look forward to connecting again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on
thank
behalf
you,
of...
Thank you, CDR and call team. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pokarna Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.